ඊළඟට නිරෝෂන් පෙරේරා මන්ත්‍රීතුමා ඔබතුමාට විනාඩි 14ක කාලයක් තියෙනවා.
ගරු මූලාසන මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි, 2019 වසරේදී ගෝඨාභය රාජපක්ෂ ජනාධිපති කරන්න දේශපාලන පදනම දැම්මේ ජාතිවාදයයි ආගම්වාදයයි. ඒ දේශපාලන පදනම මත අද දුර්වල විදේශ ප්‍රතිපත්තියක් අප රට තුළ ගමන් කරනවා. ලංකා ඉතිහාසයේ මං හිතන්නේ ජාත්‍යන්තර වශයෙන් හැල්ලුම වුණ යුගයක් මං හිතන්නේ අපේ ජනතාව අත්විඳලා නැහැ. උතුරු නැගෙනහිර යුද්ධය නිසා නැගෙන චෝදනා පමණක් නෙමෙයි, දැන් ආර්ථික වශයෙන්ුත් අපේ රට විනාශ කරයි කියලා අපිට ජාත්‍යන්තරයේ චෝදනා එල්ල වෙලා තියෙනවා. පහුගිය ජිනීවා මානව හිමිකම් සැසිවාරයේදී අපිත් එක්ක ඇත්තටම හිටගත්තේ රටවල් 7යි. අපිට තර්ක කරන්න පුළුවන් සමහර බටහිර රටවල් දේශපාලන අරමුණු වෙනුවෙන් අපිට විරුද්ධව ඡන්ද දෙනවයි කියලා. නමුත් අපිත් එක්ක හැමදාම හිටගත්ත අනිත් ආසියානු රටවල්, ඉස්ලාමීය රටවල් අපිත් එක්ක ජිනීවා මානව හිමිකම් කවුන්සලයේ එදා හිටගත්තේ නැහැ. ඔබතුමල්ලා එදා ජනාධිපතිවරණය දිනන්න ඒ දාපු දේශපාලන ඒ පසුබිම, ඔබතුමාලගේ වද කොත්තු, වද බ්‍රසියර්, ඩොක්ටර් ෂාෆි වැනි ඒ මෝඩ තර්ක ජාත්‍යන්තරයේ ඉස්සරහා අද වෙනකොට ඉතාම හැල්ලු වෙලා තියෙනවා. ඔබතුමාලට පුදුම උද්‍යෝගයක් තිබුණා. මුස්ලිම් ජනතාව එදා කෝවිඩ් හැදලා මිය ගියාම ඒ දේහ පුච්චන්න අර මෝඩ ගොඩවෙද්දු දෙතුන් දිනක්ව අරගෙන ඒ තර්කවලට ඔබතුමාලා ඇහුම්කන් දීලා ලෝක සෞඛ්‍ය සංවිධානය එහෙම කරන්න එපයි කියනකොට, මේ රටේ විශේෂඥයෝ එහෙම කරන්න එපයි කියනකොට ඔබතුමාලා ලෝකයට පිටුපාලා ඒ දේ එදා කරා. එදා කරේ ඔබතුමාලාගේ ඒ ඡන්දපදනම ආරක්ෂා කරගන්න. නමුත් එදා අපි දැක්කා ඒ රටේ ජනතාවගේ මනස විකෘති කරලා ජනතාව අතර වෛරය පතුරවලා ඒ කොයිතරම් ඡන්දපදනම ඔබතුමාලා ආරක්ෂා කරන්න බැලුවත් ඔබතුමාලට අන්තිමට ආර්ථික අර්බුදයක් වෙලා ඔබතුමාලා නිර්මාණය කරපු ඒ දුර්වල පාලකයා මේ රටින් පැනලා යන්න ඒ පාලකයාට සිද්ධ වුණා. අපේ රටේ ඉතිහාසයේ මේ රටේ පාලකයෝ පිටුහල් කරලා තියෙනවා. අනුරාධපුර යුගයේ පස්වන මහින්ද රජතුමාව චෝල හමුදාව ඇවිල්ලා එතුමාව ඉන්දියාවට අරන් ගියා. ඒ වගේම කෝට්ටේ අලකේශ්වර රජතුමාව චීනෙන් හමුදාව ඇවිල්ලා චීනයට අරන් ගියා. ශ්‍රී වික්‍රම රාජසිංහ රජතුමා පවා එදා බ්‍රිතාන්‍ය හමුදාව ඇවිල්ලා එතුමාව අරන් ගියා. නමුත් ඔබතුමාලා නිර්මාණය කරපු ඒ දුර්වල නායකයට එදා ගුවන් යානයකින් පැනල යන්න සිද්ධ වුණා පමණක් නෙමෙයි, රටවල් ගානකට ගිහිල්ලා එතුමාට හරි විදියට දේශපාලන රකබරණය පවා එතුමාට ගන්න බැරි වුණා. ඒ හින්දා ඔබතුමාලා ඒ ජාතිවාදී ඒ වගේම ආගම්වාදය පදනම් කරගෙන පටන්ගත්ත දේශපාලනය ප්‍රතික්ෂේප කළා. මේ රටේ තරුණ තරුණියෝ කැරල්ලක් ගහලා අරගලයක් කරලා ඔබතුමාලගේ ඒ බලය නැති කළා දැම්. එදා ඉතිහාසයේ ඉඳලම ඔබතුමාලා බීන් කියපු, ඔබතුමාලා කොටියා කියපු, ඔබතුමාලා මහබැංකු හොරා කියපු ඒ විනාශ කරපු දේශපාලන නායකයවම ඔබතුමාලට ගේන්ද සිද්ධ වුණා ඔබතුමාලව ආරක්ෂා කරගන්න. ලෝකේ වෙන කොහෙද පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රීවරුන්ගේ ගෙවල් 75ක් ගිනි තිබ්බේ? කොහෙද පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රීවරයෙක්ව මහමග මරලා දාලා පැය ගාණක් ඒ දේහය ගන්න නැතුව කොහොමද කොයි රටේද උනේ කියලා අපිට ඔබතුමාලා මතක් කරලා සිද්ධ වෙනවා. ඉතින් දැන් ඔබතුමාලා මේ පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට ඇවිල්ලා මම දැක්ක ඊයේ පෙරේද ඔබතුමාලා තර්ජනය කරනවා එදා ඒ ජනාධිපතිතුමා දුන්න නියෝග හමුදාවේ පංගුවන් නිලධාරීන් පිළිපැද්ද නැහැලු. ඒවා නියෝග ක්‍රියාත්මක කරේ නැහැලු. ඔබතුමාලව ආරක්ෂා කරේ නැහැලු. දැන් ලොකු වාර්තාවක් හදනවලු ඒ හමුදා නිලධාරීන්ට ඒ විරුද්ධව කටයුතු කරන්න. අපිට කියන්න සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ ඒ වාර්තාව හදන්න. නමුත් ඒ වාර්තාව හදලා ඔබතුමාලට මුළු හමුදාවටම විරුද්ධවට කෝට් මාර්ෂල් කරන් තමයි ඔබතුමාලට සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ. ඉතින් ඒ හින්දා අපි විශේෂයෙන්ම අපි කියනවා ඔබතුමාලා විදේශ ප්‍රතිපත්තිය හදනකොට මේ රටේ දේශපාලනයත් ප්‍රජාතන්ත්‍රවාදීව ජාතිවාදී සහ ආගම්වාදී නැතුව ඒ වගේම මේ රටේ සියලුම කොටස් එකතු කරගෙන ඉස්සරහට යන්න පුළුවන් දේශපාලනයක් කරන්න. එතකොට අලුතෙන් විදේශ ප්‍රතිපත්තියක් හදන්න ඕනේ නැහැ. අලුතෙන් ලෝකයේ ඉස්සරහට ගිහිල්ලා අපේ රට හැල්ලු කරන්න ඕනේ නැහැ. ඔබතුමාලට මතක ඇති ඔබතුමාලා ඇරියා ඇමරිකාවට මේ රටේ තානාධිපති කෙනෙක්. ඔබතුමාලා දැන් දන්නවා ඒ තානාධිපතිත්ව ඇමරිකාවේ අධිකරණයෙන් අද දඬුවම් දීලා තියෙනවා. ශ්‍රී ලංකාවේ මිනිස්සුන්ගේ සල්ලි හොරගම් කළා. ඒ මිනිස්සුන්ගේ ඒ දහඩිය දුක්මහන්සයෙන් හම්බ කරන ඒ සල්ලි එම්බසියේ බිල්ඩින් එකක් ගන්න ගිහිල්ලා අද වෙනකොට ඒක ඔප්පු වෙලා ඒකෙන් අද දඬුවම් විඳලා තියෙනවා. ඔබතුමාලා රාජතාන්ත්‍රිකව ඒ පුද්ගලයාව ආරක්ෂා කරන්න ඔබතුමාලා කොච්චර කටයුතු කරත් ඒක කරන්න අද බැරුව ගියා. ඒකම අනිත් පැත්තෙන් ඔබතුමාලා දන්නවා රුසියාවට ඔබතුමාලා යවුව තානාධිපති විශාල චෝදනාවක් තියෙනවා එතුමා ආයුධ ජාවාරම්කාරයෙක් කියලා. එතුමාව රතු වරින්තුවක් දාලා එතුමාව අත්අඩංගුවට ඩුබායි වල අත්අඩංගුවට අරගෙන ඒ අද ලංකාවේ ඒ ප්‍රතිරූපය විනාශ කරන්නට ඔබතුමාලා ඉඩ දුන්නා. ඒ වගේම අපි දැක්කා ඊයේ පෙරේද බැසිල් රාජපක්ෂ මැතිතුමා එතුමා මේ ලංකාවට එනකොට කවුද එතුමාව පිළිගන්න යන්නේ? මේ ඔබතුමාලා ස්වාධීනයි කියන පොලිස් කමිසමේ සභාපතිතුමා සහ ඒ සමාජිකයෝ පිළිගන්න යනවා. දැන් ඔබතුමාලා එන සැරේ ගිහිල්ලා ජිනීවා වලට කොහොමද කියන්නේ මේ රටේ නීතිය ස්වාධීනව ක්‍රියාත්මක වෙනවයි කියලා? මේ රටේ දෙමළ ජනතාවට ඒ වගේම මේ රටේ මුස්ලිම් ජනතාවට මේ රටේ සිංහල ජනතාවට සාධාරණයක් කොහොමද මේ පොලිස් කමිසමෙන් වෙනවයි කියලා ඔබතුමා කොහොමදලා තර්ක කරන්නේ? ඒක කරන්න බෑ. ඉතින් ඒ හින්දා මම කියන අන්දමට මේ රටේ ඉස්සල්ලාම ප්‍රජාතන්ත්‍රවාදය සහ පාලනය අපි හරියට කරන්න ඕනේ. ඒ ප්‍රජාතන්ත්‍රවාදය සහ පාලනය අපි හරියට කරොත් එහෙම අපිට ඉබේම ඒ ජාත්‍යන්තර විශ්වාසය අපිට ගොඩනගන්න පුළුවන්. අපිට නැති වෙලා තියෙන ඒ රටවල් අපිට ආයමත් එකතු කරන්න පුළුවන්. අපි දන්නවා අපිට හැම වෙලාවෙම අපිට උදව් කරපු ඒ ආසියාතික රටවල් ඉස්ලාමීය රටවල් ඒ ඔක්කොමල්ලා එකව වුණොත් එහෙම අපිට මීට වඩා සාර්ථකව යම්කිසි දේශපාලනක් අරමුණක් වෙනුවෙන් බටහිර රටවල් අපිට යම්කිසි චෝදනාවක් එල්ල කරනකොට ඒක ආරක්ෂා කරන්න අපිට ඉස්සරහට යන්න පුළුවන්. ඒ වගේම අපි දැක්කා එදා ඔබතුමාලා ලොකු විශ්වාසයක් තිබ්බා ජිනීවාවල චීනය අපිව ආරක්ෂා කරයි කියලා. චීනයටත් ඔය වගේම මානව හිමිකම් චෝදනාවක් ඒ සැසිවාරයේදී එල්ල වුණා. නමුත් චීනය එක ජයග්‍රහණය කර අපි ඡන්ද හතක් අරගෙන අපි පරාජය වෙනකොට චීනය එක ජයග්‍රහණය කරලා එතුමල්ලාට එල්ල වුණ ඒ චෝදනාව ඉස්සරහට යන්නේ නැතුව එතුමල්ලා ඒක නවත්ත ගත්තා. ඉතින් ඒ හින්දා අපි මීට වඩා අපි මේ විදේශ ප්‍රතිපත්තිය ගැන අපි අවධානය යොමු කරලා ඒක ඉස්සරහට ගෙනියන්න ඕන පදනම අපි මේ රටේ දාන්න ඕන. ඒ වගේම අපි දැක්කා කොවිඩ් කාලේ අපේ විදේශගත ශ්‍රී ලංකිකයන්ව සලකපු විදිය. ඔබතුමාලා ඇත්තටම නිරෝධායනීය නීති දාලා ඔබතුමාලා ඇත්තටම එතුමන්ව කොල්ල කෑවා. එතු ඒ අපේ විදේශගත සහෝදර සහෝදරිය ලංකාවට එනකොට එතුමන්ලාට විශාල මුදලක් ලක්ෂ ගානක මුදලක් ඒ පුද්ගලයන්ට ගෙවන්න සිද්ධ වුණා. පංගුවක් කට්ටියට එන්න බැරුව ඒ රටවල් වල අතරමං වුණා. අපි මතක් කරන්න ඕනේ එදා ජනාධිපතිවරණයේදී ගෝඨාභය රාජපක්ෂව දිනවන්න ඒ විදේශගත ශ්‍රී ලාංකිකයෝ එදා ඒගොල්ලන්ගේ මුදලින් ටිකට් අරන් ආපු කට්ටිය. ඕගොල්ලන් වෙනුවෙන් ඒ රටවල් වල විශාල ලෙස දේශපාලනය කරලා ඒ දේශපාලනය තුලින් විශාල හඬක් නගලා ඒ හඬ මේ රටටත් ගෙනෙල්ලා ඕගොල්ලන්ව ඒ ජයග්‍රහණය කරන්න ඒ විදේශගත ශ්‍රී ලාංකිකයන්ව තමයි ඔබතුමාලා ඒ සල්ලි ඉස්සරහට දාලා ඒ වගේ හැල්ලු කර ඒ ජනතාවගේ දුක කඳුළු ඒ ජනතාවට ඒ වෙලාවේ වුණ වේදනාව මං හිතන්නේ ඒ ජනතාව අද වෙනකන්වත් ඒක අමතක කරලා නැහැ එදා විදේශ ප්‍රේෂණ ඔබතුමාලට විශාල වශයෙන් මිලියන මං හිතන්නේ ඩොලර් මිලියන 800ක් 700ක් 800ක් ආවනම් අද ඒ ජනතාව ඒ ප්‍රේෂණ ටික එවන්නේ අද කොච්චර ඉල්ලීම් කරත් රට බේරගන්න රට පොලිමේ නැතිකරන්න අපිට මේ ඩොලර් ටික යුරෝ ටික එවන්න කිව්වත් අද වෙනකන් ඒ තත්වෙට අද ඒ ජනතාව අද ඒක අමතක කළා නේ ඉතින් අපි කියනවා මේ විදේශ ප්‍රතිපත්තිය එක්ක විදේශ සේවාව අර මං ඉස්සෙල්ලා කිව්වා වගේ ඇමරිකාවට තානාපති කෙනෙක් යවුවා අද ඇමරිකන් උසාවියෙන් නඩු දාලා අද ඔප්පු කරලා තියෙනවා ඒක ඒ වගේම රුසියාවට ඔබතුමල්ලා යවුවා අද වෙනකොට ඒ නඩු විභාගය යනවා එතකොට ඒ දේශපාලනී කරපු ඒ විදේශ සේවාව නැවත ප්‍රතිප්‍රත්‍යක් හැටියට අපි නැවත සකසන්න ඕනේ විශේෂයෙන්ම අපි දැන් ඇහෙනවා ඕමාන් රටේ මට ඊයේ පෙරේදත් මේ ඒ ඕමාන් රටේ ඉඳලා මේ පණිවිඩ එවනවා එතුම ඒ ඒ ගිය කාන්තාව
මතුමා විනාඩි 2 කාලයක් තියෙනවා
අපි දන්නවා ඒ කාන්තාවන්ට යම්කිසි අසාධාරණයක් වුණා නමුත් අපේ විදේශ සේවාව තුලින් තවත් අසාධාරණයක් වෙන්නේ නැතුව අපේ කාන්තාවෝ වහල් සේවයට නැත්නම් ගණිකා සේවයට ඒක පරිවර්තනය කරන්න නැතුව ඒ රටේ පුරවැසියන්ව බලා ගැනීම විදේශ සේවයේ වගකීමක්. එහෙම වෙන්නේ නැත්නම් අපි වෙන්නේ තවත් අපි ඒ රටවල් ඉස්සරහා අපි හැල්ලු වෙන එක. ඉතින් ඒ හින්දා මම මේ අවස්ථාවේදී ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා අපේ විදේශ ප්‍රතිපත්තිය ලෝකයේ විශ්වාසය දිනා ගන්න ලෙස පරිවර්තනය කරන්න. අපිට ලෝකයේ විශ්වාසය දිනා ගන්න නැතුව අපිට මේ ආර්ථික අර්බුදෙන් ඒ වගේම අපිට ජිනීවාවල තියෙන මේ මානව හිමිකම් චෝදනාවලින් අපිට ගැලවිලා අපේ අනාගත පරපුරට හොඳ රටක් අපිට නිර්මාණය කරන්න බෑ. ඉතින් ඒ හින්දා අපේ විදේශ ප්‍රතිපත්තිය ඔබතුමාලාගේ දේශපාලනය කරනවා නම් ඒක වෙනම දෙයක්. ඒ දේශපාලනය ආගම්වාදීව ජාතිවාදීව පදනම් කරගෙන ඔබතුමාලාගේ ඡන්ද පදනම වැඩි කරගෙන මැතිවරණත් දිනාගෙන රටපාලනය කරනවා නම් ඒක වෙනම දෙයක්. නමුත් එහෙම කරන්න ගිහිල්ලා අපි කරගත්තේ ලෝකයා ඉදිරියේ අපේ රටේ නම විනාශ කරන ඒ ගමන කියලා මම මේ අවස්ථාවේදී ඔබතුමාලට මතක් කර දෙමින් මගේ කතාව අවසන් කරනවා.
බොහොම ස්තුතියි ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා. අර්ථදාහ ගෞරව சிவனேசத்துறை சந்திரகாந்தன் அவர்கள் 14 நிமிடங்கள் இருக்கிறது உங்களுக்கு.
சபைக்கு தலைமையாங்க தலைவர் அவர்களே, இன்று வெளி விவகார நெடுஞ்சாலைகள் ஊடகத்துறை அமைச்சகனுடைய குழுநிலை விவாதத்திலே கலந்து கொள்ள உரையாற்றுக்கு வாய்ப்பு கிடைத்ததை எட்டி மகிழ்ச்சி அடைகின்றேன். என்னை பொறுத்தவரைக்கு நானும் கௌரவ மண்டல குணவர்த்தன வீதி அபிவிருத்தி அமைச்சரோடு இணைந்து கிராமிய வீதி அபிவிருத்தி இராஜாங்க அமைச்சராக செயல்படுகிற அடிப்படையில் இதை பற்றி சுருக்கமாக பேசலாம் எண்ணுகின்றேன். உண்மையிலே எல்லோருக்கும் தெரிந்தபடியும்தான் கிராமப்புற அபிவிருத்தியிலே தங்களுடைய வாழ்வாதார மேம்பாடு, கல்வி மேம்பாடு, நகரத்துடன் கிராமத்து இணைத்தல் என்பதற்கு அடிப்படையாக அமைவது வீதிகள். ஒரு நாடு விரைவாக அபிவிருத்தி அடைய வேண்டுமாக இருந்தால் போக்குவரத்து துறை, மின்சாரம், தொலைத்தொடர்பு, நீர்ப்பாசனம், குடிநீர் போன்ற மிக முக்கியமான அத்தியாவசியமான தேவைகளை பூர்த்தி செய்ய வேண்டும். அந்த அடிப்படையாக கொண்டு கிராமப்புற வீதிகளை புனரமைப்பதற்காக ஒரு விசேடமாக கிராம வீதி அபிவிருத்தி இராஜாங்க அமைச்சை 2020 எட்டாம் மாதம் உருவாக்கியிருக்கிறார்கள். அதுக்கு முன்னர் இராஜாங்க அமைச்சர்கள் அமைச்சர்களோடு பல பணிகளை ஆற்றியிருந்தாலும் 2020 பின்னர் ஒரு விசேடமான வேலை திட்டத்தை இந்த நாட்டை பொறுப்பேற்ற ஜனாதிபதி அவர்கள் திட்டமிட்டு பணியாற்றுவதற்கு திட்டங்களை வகுத்து மிக விரைவாக வேலைகள் ஆரம்பிக்கப்பட்டு இடம்பெற்றது. துரதிருஷ்டவசமாக இந்த நாட்டிலும் உலகத்திலும் ஏற்பட்ட கோவிட் தொற்று காரணமாகவும் வேறு விதமான தாக்கம் காரணமாகவும் பலவிதமான இழப்புகள் ஏற்பட்டதன் காரணமாக இன்று இத்துறையும் வீழ்ச்சியடைந்திருக்கிறது. அந்த அடிப்படையில் 2020-21 அதிலும் 22 ஒன்றுமே செய்ய முடியாத ஆண்டாக மிக நீண்ட சிட்டைகளோடு இருக்கிற ஒரு நிறுவனமாக மாறியிருந்தது. 2020 நான் 23 எங்களுக்கு ஒதுக்கப்பட்டிருக்கிற நிதியிலே கணிசமான சிட்டைகளை செலுத்த வேண்டிய நிலைமையில தான் எங்களுடைய அமைச்சம் இருக்கிறது. 3,852 மில்லியன் ரூபாய் நிலுவையில் இருக்கிறது. இருந்தாலும் கிராமிய வீதிகள் கிராமிய பாலங்களுக்காக முனைத்து 5.5 பில்லியன் நிதி ஒதுக்கீடு செய்யப்பட்டிருக்கிறது. அதுபோன்று விசேட வேலை திட்டங்கள் சம்பந்தமாகவும் உலக வங்கியோடு இணைந்து கிராமப்புற வீதிகளை 10,000 கிலோமீட்டர் அவதி செய்கிற பணிகள் தெரிவு செய்யப்பட்ட மாகாணங்களிலே ஆரம்பிக்கப்படுவதற்கான ஏற்பாடுகள் இடம்பெற்றிருக்கிறது. இதிலே அதிகூடியமாக கிழக்கு வடக்கு மாகாணங்களுக்கு முன்னுரிமை அடிப்படையில் பணிகளை ஆற்ற வேண்டும் என்று நாங்கள் எண்ணுகிறோம். அது நிச்சயமாக நடந்தேறினால் நான் ஏற்கனவே சொன்னது போல கிராமங்களுக்கும் நகரங்களுக்கான இணைப்பும் முக்கியமாக உள்ளூர் உற்பத்தி அதுபோன்று மீனவ கைத்தொழிலை மேம்படுத்துவது உள்ளூர் பொருளாதாரத்தின் உற்பத்தி துறையை மையமாக கொண்ட வீதிகளை சரியாக இனங்கன்று செய்து கொடுப்பது நாங்கள் திட்டமிட்டிருக்கிறோம். 23 முடிந்த அளவில் விட்டு செய்து கொடுக்க முடிந்தால் அது பெரிய மாற்றத்தை ஏற்படுத்தலாம். அதேபோன்று எங்களுக்கு வருகிற மிக முக்கியமான அரசு நிறுவனமாக இருக்கிறது SDNCC நிறுவனம் என்பது. அது பலதரப்பட்ட நீண்ட வரலாற்றை கொண்ட நிறுவனம், பல பணிகளை இந்த நாட்டுக்காக ஆற்றியிருக்கிறது. அதனுடைய நிலைமைகளும் இப்பொழுது வீழ்ச்சி போக்கில் இருக்கிறது. இருந்தாலும் தனியார் துறையோடு போட்டி போட்டு இயங்கக்கூடிய ஒரு துறையாகவும் அதை சரியாக திட்டமிட்டு வளர்த்தெடுத்தால் எங்களுக்கு அரசாங்கத்துக்கு தேவையாக இருக்கிற அரசு நிறுவனங்கள் தேவையாக இருக்கிற புயரது சேவைக்கான கட்டுமான பணிகள் அதுபோன்று அதுக்கான விளக்குகளை பொறுத்துகிற பணிகளை செய்து கொடுக்க முடியும். அதேபோன்று மின்சாரத்துறைக்கும் பாடியளவு பங்களிப்பு செய்ய முடியும். அவற்றை பலப்படுத்துவதற்கான திட்டங்களையும் அவர்களுடைய குறைபாடுகளை நிவர்த்தி செய்து கொடுப்பதற்கான முயற்சிகளை நாங்கள் எடுத்திருக்கிறோம். அதை விரைவாக செய்து கொடுப்போம் என்று நம்புகிறேன். அதேபோன்று எங்களுடைய அமைச்சோடு இணைந்து எங்களுடைய மாகாணங்களிலும் தேசிய அளவில் இருக்கிற பிரச்சனைகளை கௌரவ உறுப்பினர்களுடைய வேண்டுகோளையும் முடித்து வைப்பதற்கு முடிந்தவரை இந்த அமைச்சினூடாக பணியாற்றுவதற்கு நாங்கள் எண்ணியிருக்கிறோம். ஆகையால் இந்த நாடு இக்கட்டான சூழலிலிருந்து மீண்டெழுவதற்கு முடிவான பணிகளை நாடு உறைந்து விடாமல் மெல்ல மெல்ல கட்டி எழுப்புக்கான அனைத்து தன முயற்சிகளையும் எடுப்பதற்கு நாங்கள் அரசாங்கத்தோடு செயலாற்றுவதற்கு திட்டமிட்டிருக்கிறோம். சேர்ந்து செயலாற்றிக் கொண்டிருக்கிறோம். மிக முக்கியமாக இந்த நாடு மீட்சி அடைகிற பொழுதுதான் மக்கள் நிம்மதியாக வாழ முடியும். கிராமப்புறங்களுக்கு இன்று செல்ல முடியாமல் இருப்பதும் பிரச்சனைகள் எதிர்கொண்டிருப்பதும் உணவு தட்டுப்பாடு வந்திருப்பதும் அதேபோன்று மீனவர்கள் தங்களுடைய குறைபாடுகளை சொல்லுகிற விடயங்களை பார்த்து அதற்காக எதிர்கருத்துக்களை மாத்திரம் அரசாங்கத்தால் செய்ய முடியாது என்று விமர்சித்து விட்டு மாத்திரம் செல்ல முடியாது. ஒரு பொறுப்பு மிக்க பாராளுமன்ற உறுப்பின் அடிப்படையில் இவற்றுக்கெல்லாம் முகம் கொடுத்து இதிலிருந்து மக்களை மீட்டுவதற்கான பணிகளை ஆற்ற வேண்டும். இதுதான் எங்களுடைய காலத்தின் தேவையாக இருக்குது. இதுதான் என்னுடைய தேசியமாகவும் நான் பார்க்கிறேன். அந்த அடிப்படையில் இவற்றுக்கு முகம் கொடுத்து மக்களை தட்டி எழுப்பி முன்னேற்றுவதற்கான அனைத்து விதமான முயற்சிகளிலும் அரசாங்கத்தோடு சேர்ந்து இணைப்பாக்கம் செய்ய வேண்டும் என்பதை என்னுடைய எதிர்பார்ப்போம். அதேபோன்றுதான் இப்பொழுது வந்திருக்கிற எங்களுடைய ஜனாதிபதி அவர்கள் கௌரவ ரணில் விக்ரமசிங்கே அவர்கள் கடந்த காலங்களிலே மிக அழகாக தன்னுடைய கருத்தை வெளியிட்டிருந்தார். வடக்கிலே இருக்கிற பாராளுமன்ற உறுப்பினர்கள் இணைந்து எங்களுடைய நாட்டில் இருக்கிற புரையோடி போகிற இனப்பிரச்சனையை தீர்த்து வைப்பதற்கு பேச்சுவார்த்தை இறங்குவோம் என்றும் அதுக்கு பின்னர் ஒரு விவாதத்திலே எதிர்கட்சி தயாரா ஆளுங்கட்சி தயாரா குறிப்பாக எங்களுடைய முன்னாள் ஜனாதிபதி அவர்களும் முன்னாள் பிரதமரான மஹிந்த ராஜபக்சே அவர்கள் தயாரா அதேபோன்று தினேஷ் குணரத்ன பிரதமர் அவர்கள் சரியாங்கிற பல கேள்விகளை கேட்டு ஒரு வித்தியாசமான கண்ணோட்டத்திலே தன்னுடைய பேச்சை அணுகி நாட்டுக்கு ஒரு உரிய தீர்வை வழங்கக்கூடிய சூழலை உருவாக்கலாம் என்ற முயற்சியை நாங்கள் எடுப்பது போல ஒரு எண்ணத்தை தோற்றுவிக்கிறது. அதிலும் நடந்து இந்த வரவு செலவு திட்டம் முடிந்த கையோடு ஒரு கூட்டத்தை நடத்துவதாக சொல்லியிருக்கிறார். அந்த கூட்டத்திலே உண்மையிலே தமிழ் தேசிய கூட்டமைப்பு அதேபோன்று ஏனைய சிறுபான்மை கட்சிகள் கிழக்கு கிழக்காக இருக்கக்கூடிய நிலைமையிலே கிழக்கு மாநிலத்தில் பிரிந்தப்படுகிற கட்சிகளுக்கு இணைந்து மிக நீண்ட கால பிரச்சனையாகவும் லட்சக்கணக்கான உயிர்களை பலிகொண்டதும் பல கோடி பெறுமதியான சொத்துழைப்புகளையும் ஏற்பட்டிருக்கிற இந்த யுத்தத்தின் பின்னர் வந்த படுக்களை நிவர்த்தி செய்யக்கூடிய வாய்ப்பு கிடைக்குமா இருந்தால் அதை பெரிதும் பெற வைக்க வேண்டும். அதுக்கு தமிழ் மக்கள் விடுதலை கட்சி எப்பொழுதும் ஒத்துழைப்பு வழங்கும். முக்கியமாக எங்களுடைய கடந்த காலங்களிலே ஒற்றுமை இல்லை தமிழர்களுக்கு இல்லை என்கிற ஒரு பெரிய பிரச்சனை இருந்து வந்தது. அதிலும் குறிப்பாக கடந்த காலங்களிலே தமிழரசு கட்சி அனைத்து கட்சிகளுக்கும் அழைப்பு விட்டு பேசுவதாக சொல்லப்பட்டது. அது என்ன நடந்தது என்று வெளிப்படுத்தினமில்லை. முடிந்தால் உங்களுக்கு தெரியும், நீண்ட அழிவுகள் இழப்புகளை பற்றி நாங்கள் விமர்சனங்களை முன்வைத்துக் கொண்டு வருகிறோம். இருந்தாலும் தமிழர்களுக்குள்ளே என்ன தீர்வு, அல்லது எங்களுடைய முன்னாள் ஜனாதிபதி கௌரவ மஹிந்த ராஜபக்சே அவர்கள் சொன்னது போல 13+ இருந்து தான் ஆரம்பிக்க போகிறோமா? அதிலேயே ஒரு சரியான கருத்தாடல் எங்களும் மத்தியிலே ஒற்றுமை வந்திருக்கிறதா? அல்லது வைரமுத்து சொன்னது போல பட்டு வேட்டி கனவில் இருக்கிற பொழுது கட்டிருந்த கோமளமும் களவாடப்பட்டது கதையாக தமிழ் தேசிய கூட்டமைப்பு நல்லாட்சி காலத்திலே அதிகார பயிர் சம்பந்தமாக கேட்டுக்கொண்டிருக்கிற பொழுதுதான் அரசியலமைப்பிலே உறுதிப்படுத்தப்பட்டிருக்கிற 13வது மாகாண சபை முறைமைகள் கைநழுவி இன்று வரைக்கும் மாகாண சபை தேர்தல் நடத்தப்படாமல் இருக்கிறது. அது இந்த அரசாங்கமும் நடத்தக்கூடிய சூழல் இல்லை என்கிற வேறுபடி இருந்தாலும் அந்த நேரத்திலே அது மிகப்பெரிய ஒரு பிரச்சனையாக எழும் என்று ஒரு சரியாக ஆராய்ந்து எடுக்கப்படாத முடிவின் காரணமாக மாகாண சபை தேர்தல் இன்னும் வரைக்கும் நடத்தப்படவில்லை. ஆகையால் தான் நான் சொன்னேன், நாங்கள் அதிகாரம் அதிகாரம் என்று சொல்கிறோம், ஆனால் அரசியலமைப்பில் உறுதிப்படுத்தப்பட்ட மாகாண சபை முறைமையை தக்க வைத்துக் கொண்டு மாகாண சபை 13வது பற்றி நாங்கள் பேசாமல் அதை தாண்டி மேலதிகமான 13+ சம்பந்தமாக பேசக்கூடிய ஒற்றுமை வந்தால் கூட பெரும் உதவியாக இருக்கும் என்பது என்னுடைய நிலைப்பாடு. இல்லை என்றால் நாங்கள் கட்சிகளுக்குள்ளே பிரிவினைகளையும் பிரச்சனைகளையும் ஊடகங்களுக்காக கருத்துக்களையும் அல்லது அடுத்த தேர்தலிலே வெல்லக்கூடிய கருத்துக்களையும் முன்வைப்போம். வீட்டிலே இப்பொழுது இருக்கிற சூழலை சரியாக பயன்படுத்தாமல் உங்களுக்கு தெரியும் 70 ஆண்டுகள் நீடிக்கிற இந்த பிரச்சனையிலே அரசியலுக்காக அல்லது அடுத்த ஆட்சியை பிடிப்பதற்காக வருகிற தலைவர்கள் சரியாக பயன்படுத்தி சிங்கள மக்கள் மத்தியிலே ஒரு துவேஷத்தை கிளப்பிவிட்டால் மீண்டும் பிரச்சனைகள் எளிமைய ஒழிய, அல்லது முன்னாள் தலைவர் சொன்னால் இந்நாள் தலைவர் சொன்னால் சம்பந்தனையா சொன்னார் இப்பொழுது வந்திருக்கிற தலைவர் பேசுகிறார் அல்லது பிள்ளையானு பேசிவிட்டு சென்றாங்கிற கருத்தால் வந்துவிடும். ஆகையால் நம்பிக்கை கொடுக்கக்கூடிய அளவிலே ஏற்றுக்கொள்ளக்கூடிய தீர்வுகளை மக்கள் ஒரு தெளிவான பார்வையோடு சிங்கள மக்களுக்கு நாங்கள் முன்வைக்க வேண்டும். அதனோடு ஒன்றி சிங்கள மக்கள் மத்தியில் இருந்துதான் தீர்வை பெற்றுக்கொள்ள வேண்டும், சிங்கள தலைவரோடு பேச வேண்டும் என்று சொல்லிக்கொண்டு கடந்த கால கசப்புணர்வுகளை அதனூடாக வருகிற வெறுப்புகளை மிக மோசமான வார்த்தைகளால் உணர்வை தட்டி எழுப்பி பேசி சிங்கள மக்கள் மத்தியிலே காயங்களையும் கலங்கங்களையும் ஏற்படுத்தாத வண்ணமும் அந்த கருத்தை கேட்டு கௌரவ பாராளுமன்ற உறுப்பினர்கள் ஆளுங்கட்சியில் இருந்து அவர்களும் அதற்கு பதிலளிக்க போய் தமிழ் மக்களுடைய உணர்வுகளை பாதிக்கிற அளவிலேயும் இங்கு கருத்தாடல் இடம்பெறுவதை என்று நான் கவலைப்படுகிறேன். கவலை அடைந்தேன் கடந்த காலங்களில். இவையெல்லாம் இல்லாமல் உண்மையிலேயே இந்த எங்களுடைய நாட்டின் கடந்த காலங்களிலே ஏற்பட்ட படுக்கல் காயங்கள் மாற்றுவதற்கும் ஒரு முக்கியமான ஒரு சொல்வார்கள் உலகத்தில் இருக்கிற ஒரு முத்து இலங்கை, இந்த முத்துக்குள்ளே வாழுகிற இந்த சிறிய தீவிலே வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கிற மக்களை ஒரு தெளிவான போக்கிலே பற்றோடு இளைஞர்கள் நாட்டு பற்றோடு வாழக்கூடிய சூழலை உருவாக்குவதற்கு ஒரு திட்டமிட்டு சரியான செயலாற்றக்கூடிய ஒரு அரசியல் இயக்கங்களாக நாங்கள் ஒன்றிணைய வேண்டுமாக இருந்தால் நாங்கள் நிச்சயமாக அதுக்கு ஒத்துழைப்பு வழங்க இருக்கிறோம். அப்படி வடபதியில் இருக்கிற தலைவர்கள் உண்மையான இணக்கப்பாட்டோடு நான் ஏற்கனவே குறிப்பிட்ட கிழக்கு கிழக்காக இருக்கக்கூடிய அந்த மக்களையும் சரியாக நடத்தக்கூடிய சரியான திட்டமிடலோடு தெளிவான அரசியல் தீர்வோடு பயணித்தால் அதுக்கான திட்ட வரைவைங்களை முன்வைத்து பேசினால் நாங்கள் நிச்சயமாக அதுக்கு தடையாக இருக்க போவதும் கிடையாது. அதேபோன்று அப்படியான சூழல் வந்து தென்பதியில் இருக்கிற எழுச்சிக்கு முகம் கொடுக்கக்கூடிய சூழலை உருவாக்க வேண்டுமா இருந்தால் நாங்கள் இப்பொழுது இருக்கிற நிலைமையில இருந்து மாற்று சிந்தனையை கூட பரிசீலிப்பதற்கு கூட நாங்கள் தயாராக இருக்கிறோம். ஆகையால் இங்கு நான் சிறுதலை போன்ற தலைவரிடம் வலியுறுத்துற விஷயம் என்னவென்றால் உங்களுடைய பேச்சுக்களை நாங்கள் கடந்த காலம் நான் அவதானித்துக் கொண்டு வருகிறேன். சிலர் உணர்ச்சிவசப்பட்டு பேசுவதற்கும் நீங்கள் மிக கவனமாக திட்டமிட்டு பேசுகிற விடயங்களை நான் அவதானித்துக் கொண்டிருக்கிறேன். உங்களை போன்ற கடந்த காலங்களை எண்ணி எதிர்காலத்திற்கு வழி சமைக்க எண்ணுகிற தலைவர்கள் நுட்பமாக திட்டமிட்டு சரியாக காய்களை நகர்த்தினால் எதிர்காலத்திலே வர இருக்கிற பேச்சுவார்த்தையும் வெற்றியளிக்க முடியும், தமிழருக்கான தீர்வுகளையும் பெற்றுக் கொள்ள முடியும். அந்த தீர்வு கிடைக்கிற பொழுது நிச்சயமாக இலங்கை தேசம் மிக விரைவான வளர்ச்சி அடைய முடியும். கடந்த காலங்களைப் போல் உயிரிழப்புகள், பொருளப்புகள், சொத்துழப்புகள், நம்பிக்கை இனங்கள், வெளிநாடுகளிலே கப்பலிலே ஓடித்தப்பு நிலைமைகள் எல்லாம் நிறுத்தி கொண்டு எங்களுடைய மக்கள் எங்களுடைய பொருளாதாரம் இலங்கை மண்ணுக்கு சேர்ந்த போல ஒரு அபிவிருத்தி திட்டத்தை முன்னெடுக்க முடியும் என்று நம்புகிறேன். ஆகையால் இது ஒரு நல்லெண்ணமாக நான் உங்களுக்கு சொல்வது செய்தியாக கூறி அந்த அடிப்படையில் எங்களுடைய நாட்டில் ஒரு முற்போக்கான மாதிரியாக கிழக்கு மாகாணத்தின் தனித்துவத்தையும் தனித்துவத்தோடு இணைந்து அதிகாரப் போரையும் பேசுகிற தமிழ் மக்கள் விடுதலை கட்சி பிரதியாக இருக்கிற நான் தொடர்ந்தும் ஏனைய மக்களை நசுக்காத வண்ணமும் அவர்களுக்கு இடையூறு வர வண்ணமும் கிழக்கு மாகாணத்திலே பிரச்சனைகளை தீர்த்துக் கொள்ள வேண்டும் என நான் எண்ணுகிறேன். அதற்கான பல முயற்சிகளை எடுத்துக் கொண்டுகிறோம். இருந்தாலும் சில ஊடகங்களும் தனிப்பட்ட அரசியலை வளர்க்கக்கூடிய எண்ணங்களை கொண்டவர்களும் எங்களை கடந்த காலங்களோடும் யுத்தங்களோடும் அல்லது நாங்கள் 90ஆம் ஆண்டுக்கு முன்னர் நடந்த விடயங்கள் எல்லாம் எங்களோடு இணைத்து பேசுகிற விடயங்களும் அதாவது பாராளுமன்றத்துக்குள்ளே தங்களுக்கு பிரபலியம் அடைய வேண்டும் என்பதற்காக அடுத்தவர்களை பிழையானவர்களாகவும் கள்ளர்களாகவும் காட்டி தங்களுடைய அரசியலாவம் தேடுகின்ற எண்ணுகிற ஒரு உத்வேகமான அல்லது உணர்ச்சி வசப்பட்ட பேச்சுக்கள் ஏனைய சமூகங்கள் மத்தியிலும் நம்பிக்கை இனங்களையும் பிரச்சனைகளையும் தோற்றுவிக்கிறது. ஆகையால் நாங்கள் எல்லோரும் மற்றவர்களை குற்றஞ்சாட்டுவதை விட நாங்கள் என்ன செய்கிறோம் என்ன செய்து விட்டு போகிறோம் என்பதற்கு முன்னுதாரணமாக இருக்க வேண்டும். அதுபோன்று இங்கிருக்கிற பிரச்சனை என்னவென்றால் அரசியல்வாதிகளை மாத்திரம்தான் குற்றஞ்சாட்டுவார்கள், மற்றவர்களை யாரும் கண்டுகொள்வது கிடையாது. நான் அண்மையிலேயே அவதானித்தேன், உரப்பிரச்சனை வந்த பொழுது எங்களால் உரத்தை உற்பத்தி செய்ய முடியாது, அதிலும் யூரியா போன்ற ரசாதா என உரங்களை உற்பத்தி செய்ய முடியாது என்று நாங்கள் ஏற்றுக்கொள்கிறோம். ஆனாலும் இந்த நாட்டுக்குள்ளே இருக்கிற விதைகளை கூட எங்களுக்கு இலங்கைக்கு தேவையான விதைகளை கூட உற்பத்தி செய்ய முடியாத ஒரு நாடாக நாங்கள் இருப்பது என்று நாங்கள் கவலைப்படுகிறோம். ஆகையால் எங்கள் மத்தியில் இருக்கிற அனைத்து விதமான பலங்களையும் செய்யக்கூடிய அவற்றை நாங்கள் செய்து கொடுப்பதற்கு நிறுவனமயப்படுத்தப்பட்ட வேலை திட்டத்தை முன்வைக்க வேண்டும். ஆகையால் அதிகாரிகளுக்கும் அமைச்சர்களுக்கு அதிகாரிகளுக்கு சாதாரண மக்கள் நிறுவனங்கள் எல்லோரும் ஒன்றுபட்டால் மாத்திரம்தான் இந்த நிலைமையிலிருந்து நாங்கள் மீண்டெழுந்து ஒரு சரியான உற்பத்தித்துறையை நோக்கி நகர முடியும். அந்த அடிப்படையில் எதிர்காலத்தில் பணியாற்றக்கூடிய எங்களுடைய அமைச்சும் அமைச்சின் செயலாளர்களும் எங்களோடு தொடர்ந்து பணியாற்றிக் கொண்டிருக்கிற அமைச்சர் எல்லோருக்கும் நன்றி கூறுவதோடு தொடர்ந்தும் முடிந்தவரை எங்களுடைய நாட்டை கட்டியெழுப்புக்கு எம்மாலான அனைத்து உதவிகளையும் செய்வதற்கு காத்திருக்கிறோம். அரசாங்கத்தோடு தொடர்ந்தும் பயணித்து சரியானவற்றை மக்களுக்கு பெற்றுக் கொடுப்பதற்கு எப்பொழுது நான் சந்தர்ப்பம் கொடுப்பேன் என கூறி வாய்ப்பளித்த நன்றி முடித்துக் கொள்ள நன்றி வணக்கம்.
நன்றி கௌரவ உறுப்பினர் அவர்களே. இலங்கட்ட கரு ப்ரொஃபசர் ஜி எல் பீரிஸ் மந்திரி சும்மா உபத்துமாட்ட வினாடி தாஹத்திரக்க காலியாத்தினா ஆர்டர் பிளீஸ். ஒன்றபல் பிரேமநாத் சி டொலவத்த துதச்சியா
Honorable presiding member, I would like to make some observations on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and on the plans of the government for the near future. I think the most important ingredient of foreign policy, Mr. presiding member, is credibility. What we say must be believed. It must be taken seriously. Now, the government has told us that they are planning to solve the ethnic issue through a completely new constitution. The government has said that they propose to do this before National Day, Independence Day, the 4th of February. Now, there are governments that have been in power in this country with 5-6 majorities, 2/3 majorities, all those governments have made an attempt to get to grips with this problem and to come up with a viable solution. But so far, all those attempts have failed. Now, does anybody believe that before the 4th of February, the present government is going to solve this problem? Is there a minimum of credibility? Is there anybody on the planet who takes this statement seriously? We are also told that there will be a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Now, will this be on the model of the South African Commission? The South African Commission had an exhaustive investigation. They summoned the oppressors and the victims, the people who were responsible for horrible atrocities, and the persons who were killed, maimed, mutilated, as a result of this. They were all brought together. And then people like Desmond Tutu played a key role. They inquired whether there was genuine contrition, genuine repentance. If there was repentance, there was amnesty. If there was no repentance, then the criminal law was set in motion. There were indictments. Now, are we going to do this? Is there any serious intention of bringing the armed forces, the police, in touch with victims? Is there any earnest desire to do any of this? Who would believe any of these promises? Then there are some very serious immediate issues. Government is saying that they propose to get support from the International Monetary Fund very soon. The International Monetary Fund has on three occasions mentioned the importance of a mandate. They want to deal with a country which has a mandate. The most important manifestation of a mandate is elections. There must be elections. Because the IMF makes its resources available to the people of a country through a government. And if there's no nexus between the government and the people, then there is a serious problem with regard to support from the International Monetary Fund. Then there is the GSP Plus issue on which Sri Lanka's exports are dependent at this moment. That is a lifeline which is keeping us alive. But GSP Plus is neither a gift or an entitlement. The continuing enjoyment of GSP Plus is dependent upon compliance with 27 international instruments, principally the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, democracy, human rights. If there are no elections, if elections are being deliberately not held, then the very basis for enjoyment of GSP Plus is eroded. Now, we are in a situation today where provincial council elections have not been held for 3 years. As I address you today, there is not one single elected member in any provincial council in any part of the country. Now, it is very much our wish that this will not happen to local government institutions. Honorable presiding member, it is a happy coincidence that you have, in perfectly good faith, presented a private member's bill. Your bill was published in the Gazette on the 14th of October. It was presented to Parliament on the 8th of November. Before that, the Honorable Imtiaz Bakir Makar presented a similar private member's bill. The object is the same, to increase the threshold of youth representation and women's representation. The Honorable Imtiaz Bakir Makar's bill was presented to this Parliament 4 months before the private bill of the Honorable Premanath C. Dholavatta. Imtiaz Bakir Makar's bill was published in the Gazette on the 2nd of June and presented to this August Assembly on the 6th of July. Now, the principles in the bills are sound. There's no question about the principles of the bill. And we entirely accept the Honorable Premanath C. Dholavatta, attorney at law, in perfect good faith, presented this legislation. But we will not allow that bill to be made use of as a pretext for the postponement of local government elections. There is a view, I hope it is not correct, that the government is planning to take up this bill, the private member's bill, and to have it enacted next week, soon after the budget. This is not possible. It cannot be done in accordance with the laws of this country, and we will do everything in our power to resist this insidious attempt in this House, in the country at large, and before the Supreme Court of the Republic. The legal position, Mr. Presiding Member, as the process of holding this election has already started, It started on the 20th of September. It is ongoing. It cannot be interrupted, it cannot be subverted, it cannot be suspended by any attempt on the part of the government. The law requires that 340 local authorities in this country must be in place before the 20th of March next year. This means that the last date on which these elections can be held is the 27th of February. There is a period of 10 days' notice for nominations. The nomination process takes 1 week. Then starts the election campaign, for which the minimum is 5 weeks and the maximum is 7 weeks. The principles contained in the Honorable Premanath Dholavatta's bill are prospective. They are for the future. They are not retrospective. They cannot be hijacked in the way that an innocuous provincial council bill was hijacked for the purpose of postponing these elections. They have still not been held. We know that that was a bill connected with women's representation at provincial councils. The government introduced about 30 new pages at the committee stage, subverted the entire content and objective of the bill. We will not allow that to happen with regard to the conduct of local government elections. Then, Mr. Presiding Member, I have read repeated statements by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that they are interested in reorienting the priorities of Sri Lanka's foreign policy. Ministry of External Affairs and our missions abroad are going to focus on economic diplomacy, by which they mean investment and foreign trade. I wish the ministry well, but I'm rather skeptical about success for three reasons. One reason, if there's rampant corruption in this country, there's not going to be any serious investment. I regret that the Honorable Minister of Foreign Affairs is not here. I would ask him to have a look at the headline in one of the mainstream newspapers today about the scale of corruption, the magnitude of corruption. I want to say that nothing that I am saying is intended to detract from the integrity and the professional competence of my friend, the Honorable Sabri, President's Counsel. But unless you tackle corruption, no investor worth his salt is going to take a second look at Sri Lanka. The International Monetary Fund has identified what they call corruption vulnerabilities as one of the major impediments to dealing with Sri Lanka. The World Bank has said that they are prepared to support our agriculture sector.
Honorable Member, you have another 3 minutes left.
How many minutes?
3 minutes.
Yeah. The IMF has said they will support our agriculture sector, but they will do their own audit. They have no faith in Sri Lankan audit. There cannot be a greater insult to the financial procedures of our country. Now, there's a lot of talk of a new bill for corruption. We don't need a new bill. What is needed is political will to implement the existing laws governing corruption in this country. But does anybody believe that this government, constituted in this way, as a result of the election that took place in this house, the internal arrangements, agreements that were arrived at among the component elements of the government, does anybody in their senses believe that this government is going to make an honest attempt to eradicate corruption from this country? If that is not so, do not expect serious investment. Then the second impediment is the flight of personnel. Sri Lanka's abiding strength is the caliber of our human resources. About 700 doctors have left our country within the last few months. The ICT industry is on the verge of collapse. Professionals, academics are leaving the country in droves. How can we have investment in this country if there are no personnel of quality to handle those investments? How can there be investment in infrastructure? That is my third point. government has made it necessary for entrepreneurs to go to the banks and borrow money at 30-35% rates of interest. Can anybody do a business and get any profit at all paying 30-35% interest? Factories are going to collapse, production lines are going to dry up, and very large numbers of jobs and livelihoods are going to be lost. Then the export sector, taxes are increased from 14% to 30%. Can they earn that money to pay the taxes? Government will not collect anything like what they expect in terms of revenue. If they don't have the yield, how can they incur expenditure on infrastructure? Without qualified personnel, without proper infrastructure in the country, with rampant corruption, every day proceedings in COP and COPA in the national newspapers, with all these three impediments, unbridled corruption, collapse of infrastructure, is there any prospect at all that serious investors will come into Sri Lanka? So I conclude, Mr. Presiding Member, by saying these are mere dreams, they are illusions. None of it is going to happen unless there is a vibrant democratic system in our country. Vibrant democratic system means hold elections. You cannot govern this country.
Honourable Member, time's up.
Yeah. You cannot govern this country by fearing people. No provincial council elections, no local government elections. You can't get on the street. No demonstrations, no protests. Army will be used. Emergency powers will be used. No elections. In that situation, can we possibly accomplish the objectives that we have set ourselves? So, Mr. Presiding Member, my exhortation to the government is, you cannot govern a country without holding elections. Hold elections. The law requires certain time frames to be observed with regard to the local government elections. We will go to court as a combined opposition to compel the government to respect the suffrage, the franchise of the people. If that is not done, this government is no longer legitimate. It does not derive its authority from the people of this country. Our constitution says that the people are the repository of sovereignty. If there is cynical violation of that principle, we cannot stand tall before the world, and we are not going to get any of the support that we expect from the international community. Thank you, Mr. Presiding Member.
Thank you, Honorable Jill Pires. Garu, Dilan Perra, Manstuma Putumar, Nadi Dahayak Kalak.
Honorable Presiding Member, it is undisputed that the golden era of post-independent Sri Lanka's foreign policy would be between the decades of the 50s and the 70s, for which both the UNP and the SLP governments of that era should be credited with. We witnessed during that period repeated success of our leaders in the international arena and the country's reputation as a member of the international community was well beyond its geographical and demographical size. Our leaders of that era, such as Prime Ministers D.S. Senanayake, Dudley Senanayake, Srimao Bandaranayake, enjoyed a solid reputation as international figures and statesmen for their handling of Sri Lanka's foreign policy. We saw a gradual erosion of this since the 1980s due to the reasons within the control of the state and beyond its control. The departure from Sri Lanka's traditional foreign policy in the 1980s contributed to the serious negative consequences. Notwithstanding the decades of battering of our international image by the LTT, unleashing terror on our land, and various activists carrying out sustained campaigns against Sri Lanka, there was once again a glimmer of our heyday during the period of the late Lakshman Kadrigama, who managed to restructure the image of Sri Lanka and put it back in the world map as an important member of the international community. President Chandrika Bandara Kumaratunga, as one who well comprehended international relations, empowered the late Minister Kadiragama to enact and implement a foreign policy in Sri Lanka's national interests. As you know, Honourable Member, it was Honourable Kadiragama who led the foreign policy front well, while Professor G.L. Pierries, who managed to bring in three new constitutional drafts during that era. The 95 draft was drafted by Professor Pierries, 97 draft by Professor Pierries, and the 2000 draft by Professor Pierries, which was set on fire by Vikramasinghe and Company Limited inside Parliament. Countries comparable to Sri Lanka in size and economic power have been able to achieve success in foreign policy arena through consistent diplomatic efforts. The consistency of Cuba's foreign policy has brought them great success in the international sphere, with only two countries voting against their resolution at the United Nations General Assembly in 2022. We have to either possess the political economic might of countries like Singapore and Israel, or have the solid international network of countries like Cuba, preferably both. Sadly, Honourable Foreign Minister, Sri Lanka today has neither. In recent times, Sri Lanka regrettably has engaged in reactive foreign policy, abandoning its time-tested all-weather friends of the international arena for petty domestic advantages. The measures by bubbling around to fulfill political dues sacrifice the national interests. For example, the Aeroflot fiasco, the former foreign secretary saying India first, etc. Inconsistency in foreign policy does not augur well for the country, and it leads to the erosion of trust of friends for Sri Lanka. This was evident in the large number of absentations to the resolution on Sri Lanka at the recent session of the UNHRC. Most of these absentations were by countries that were once steadfast friends of Sri Lanka. We need to ask what we have done to promote our relations with these countries over the past decades. We neglect our friends in the international arena and seek them out at our time of need. Sri Lanka has always had a good relationship with the UN system and served as a member in numerous executive bodies. Whilst certain eminent individuals have been elected to serve on various international committees, Sri Lanka as a country no longer holds membership of any important executive bodies of international or intergovernmental organizations or bodies. The last we served on the UNHRC was in 2008. I am pleased to hear that Sri Lanka has announced its candidacy for the UN Economic and Social Council for the year of 2024-26. But I sincerely hope that adequate effort will be made to secure the seat by mobilizing the network of Sri Lanka's diplomatic missions overseas. Politicization of the Foreign Service at the expense of investing in a professional, well-trained foreign service has been the bane of our foreign policy debacles in recent times. This is the key to carrying out a consistent foreign policy crafted on the basis of national interest, regardless of party politics. While everybody agrees on the need for a professional foreign service, hardly any concerted effort is made for regular recruitment and provide continuous and regular training to foreign service officers. Solid training at induction, mid-career, and even at head of mission level is imperative. I am not disparaging that the work done by the Bandaranaike Diplomatic Engineering Training Institute, but a robust practical curriculum to suit Sri Lanka's national requirements in the 21st century is non-negotiable. I regret to point out that English language needs more emphasis in the Foreign Ministry. I know when you were Justice Minister, you were more concerned about testing the knowledge of the law students in English rather than law, which I don't agree with. But in your new ministry, English language is foremost. It must be given priority. Recruitment in the Foreign Service was last done in 2018.
Honourable Member, you have another two minutes.
Thank you, sir.
2 minutes.
Recruitment in the Foreign Service was last done in 2018, which needs to be done on an annual basis. It is reported that 40 officers will be recruited to the next batch of the Foreign Service. Skipping recruitment for years and then recruiting large batches is not the same as regular recruitment. Officers of the Foreign Service serving as heads of missions are asked to retire upon reaching the age of 60 without even completing their customary tenure at a diplomatic mission. However, measures are now underway to appoint much retired persons, formerly of the Foreign Service, to important stations. your presence, Foreign Secretary, is one. The new appointment to Japan is one. There are sufficient numbers of officers in active service who are senior enough to be appointed as heads of mission. I would like to know why this cannot be fulfilled by the existing card of the Sri Lanka Foreign Service. In terms of expenditure, the government now has to spend on the existing card, pay pensions to the retired officers as well as pay them for the post-retirement assignments they are undertaking. I wish to ask the Minister, what assessment was taken in closing down Sri Lanka's representations in Nigeria? Nigeria, Honourable Minister, is Africa's fastest growing economy. Norway, per capita income is in the top five globally. And Norway was a country that was held close ties with Sri Lanka for a long time. Frankfurt, the economic capital of the European Union. Cyprus, one of the first EU countries to recruit Sri Lankan labour. Sydney, Australia's largest commercial centre, home to a large and influential overseas Sri Lankan community. And what significant work achievements have been made with such savings? Are these missions the prime candidates for closure? No. If it is imperative to close some missions, just one more minute, sir. Sri Lanka is a country that has long thrived on international connectivity, the absence of which over the past 2 to 3 years has had disastrous effects on the economy. I urge the Minister to use this year, the Sri Lanka's 75th anniversary of independence, to utilize its network on missions effectively. Set targets providing performance-based budgets to missions to increase inflows of forex through trade, tourism, FDI and skill employment to help us out of this economic predicament. Sir, let me finish by saying, today in addition to the Foreign Ministry, we are also debating media. Let me finish by saying something about media. Today, sir, media is also under threat from the government. Hitler panne, aanduwak gana katha karanakota vakrakaren kiyanne madhya mardane saha dadema karanna yana bagai. Mama me welawa kiyana karanayak tiyenawa. E thamai ape rate ade ina janadhipathituma Indiyave janadhipathitumata samanai. India janadhipathituma seri patwenne janata chandayen nemei parliamentuwa saha wenath janata niyutin tande. He's a selected president, not an elected president. So is the Indian president. In the selected president kenetta karanna puluwan karyabhare saha elected president ge karyabhare samana wenna ba. Enisa selected president kenek hatiyatla Hitler panne ekeka vattiyammala මෙතන ඇවිල්ලා ඔබතුමා දෙඩුවට ඒක මට අදාළ වෙන්නේ නැහැ. මම කියන්නේ ලංකාව සහ ඉන්දියාවේ තත්ත්වය සමාන කරලා බලනකොට අපිට පේන්නේ ඉන්දියාවේ සහ ලංකාවේ දෙකේම ඉන්නේ සිලෙක්ටඩ් ප්‍රෙසිඩන්ට් කෙනෙක් ඉලෙක්ටඩ් කෙනෙක් නෙමෙයි. ඒ හින්දා සිලෙක්ටඩ් ප්‍රෙසිඩන්ට් කෙනෙක් ඉලෙක්ටඩ් කියලා හිතාන වැඩ කරන්න ගියොත් තමයි හිට්ලර් පන්නේ කතන්දර කියන සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ. ඒ හරහා මාධ්‍ය දඩයමට සහ ජනතා දඩයමට සූදානම් වුණොත් අද මේ අපි වාද කරන ෆොරින් මිනිස්ටර් කියනතේ කරන්න බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන වැඩිවත්
අවශ්‍ය කරනවා. ස්තුතියි. ස්තුතියි ගරු රිලන් පෙරමන්තුමා. ගරු ඩයන ගමගේ අමාත්‍යතුමිය ඔබතුමීට විනාඩි 9ක කාලයක් තිබෙනවා.
10
9 minutes. 9. You better start right now.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, thank you for the time given on the debate today on foreign transport and media subjects. Actually, I would like to start with the Foreign Ministry and just a few words regarding it. I think establishing of foreign relations is a significant and vital requirement at this present moment, especially with the economical crisis we are facing. Also, this is due to the significant reliance of Sri Lanka on foreign trade and relationships. Establishments of targets for foreign-based diplomats, I have suggested this and I have brought a proposal before regarding this matter, giving the diplomats in our foreign embassies targets on trade, especially on bringing in tourism to Sri Lanka, promoting tourism, because the embassies abroad who are representing Sri Lanka are the main face of any country, in any country, for Sri Lanka. And these diplomats, I think, should be given the targets of bringing in trade promotions and also tourism and promoting tourism in these countries. So I think this is a vital and very important and significant thing that we should be doing. And also, not only giving them the targets, we should be reviewing all these things. Time to time, there should be reviews whether these are happening, because I know there are lots of embassies in other countries. Most of them are actually just there for the sake of it, and a very few are working towards bringing any promotions and investments towards Sri Lanka. Now, I would also like to say a few words about, and I would like to suggest this, as our Honourable Foreign Minister is here. Now, we have actually increased the visa fees. And I would like to say, at the present moment, we are looking at the tourists coming into Sri Lanka. And I actually suggested, I think at the Select Committee meeting as well on tourism, that we should be actually giving visa on arrival, and it should be free. Because at the moment, if there's a charge of $35, there are tourists who are coming here who are willing to spend over $1,000. Are we going to look at the $35 visa, or are we going to look at the $1,000 they are willing to spend? So I think with the tourism industry just starting to grow back again, to revive it, I think we should, and I do propose, and I hope it's been considered, that we should be given visa on arrival, and if, you know, free visa on arrival. That's about the Foreign Ministry at the moment. And I would like to talk a few words about the Transport Ministry. Actually, transport in a country is one of the main areas that you see a country being developed. Today, Sri Lanka's public transport, we know, is in a very sad situation, because we know, we can see on the streets the traffic jams, and due to this, the pollution, the environmental pollutions and the damage it's doing to the environment. I think we should revive and think and reconsider and try to start up the LRT back again, because that was a very big mistake, I think, that was made to stop this, because we have already spent so much money at the beginning, but now it has stopped and it has gone a waste, because we should start to revive that. Because if we did have that LRT, but today, with the fuel crisis we are facing in the country today, it would have made a huge difference. So I think we should start talks back again and try to revive this, because it is an absolute important process and absolutely important for the country right now when it comes to public transport. Also, there's already, I have actually brought in an investor to Sri Lanka, and I have spoken to the Honourable President about it, which is a $5 billion project regarding public transport, and it's a hub that's been going to be going on a PPP. It is a private-public partnership that will be running from the Fort Station to Maradana, and it's going to be built on a, it's going to be built on a few years, actually. There's a $5 billion foreign direct investment brought in. So these are important factors that we need to do regarding the transport. And the train stations, we know the train stations needs to be developed, because especially when it's, there are foreigners, the tourists in the country, they tend to like to travel on the trains. So I think this should be, this should be developed, especially the areas which is zoned as tourist in, zones in Sri Lanka. Attadama mama kiyanna kamathi me rate me pravahana sevaya gana mam meeta issala katha kala thiyena meke mama hithanne veri punchi keti kalayak athulata hidupu rajya amthithumi hadiyata pravahana මේ මම ගෙනාපු ප්‍රජෙක්් එකක් නැවතත් ඇවිල්ලා තියෙනවා ලංකාවට ඒ ප්‍රජෙක්් එක. මේ වගේ මම හිතන්නේ අපි ඉදිරියට මේ රටේ ප්‍රවාහන සේවය අත්‍යවශ්‍ය දෙයක් මේ රට තුළ
තවත් විනාඩි දෙකක් කාලයක් ඔබතු පිළි
අත්‍යවශ්‍යම දෙයක් තමයි විශේෂයෙන්ම සංචාරකයෝ මේ රටට පැමිණිලා මේ ප්‍රවාහන සේවය අපේ පබ්ලික් ට්‍රාන්ස්පෝර්ට් එක පාවිච්චි කරන්න තමයි ඒගොල්ලෝ ගොඩක්ම කැමති. මේ මේ ටැක්සීස් වල යන්න නැතුව මේ ප්‍රවාහන සේවය විශේෂයෙන්ම කෝච්චිය. ඉතින් ඒක හින්දා මම හිතනවා මේක අපි ඇත්තටම ඩිවලොප් කළ යුතුම ඒරියා එකක්, විශේෂයෙන්ම මේක ගැන අවධානය යොමු කරන්න කියලා මම අපේ ගරු ඇමතිතුමාගෙන් ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා. අනිත් එක මම හිතනවා මේ මාධ්‍යයට මට පුංචි දෙයක් කියන්න ඕන. අද මේ මාධ්‍ය විෂය ගැන කතා කරද්දී මම ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා මේ මාධ්‍ය මාධ්‍යෙන් මං ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා. මම කතා කරන්න යන්නේ සමහර මං හිතන්නේ මේ වැඩි කතන්දර ගැන කතා කරන අය ගැන මේ වගේ මෙතන හැසිරෙන ඒ වගේ වැද්දෝ වගේ සමහරක් විදිහට මේ හැසිරෙන කට්ටිය ගැන මම නිගා කරනවා නෙමේ වැදී පරපුරට මම ගොඩාක් අරු කරනවා. මොකද අපේ ඒගොල්ලන් ඇබරිජිනියන්ස් හැටියට අපි විශ්වාස කරනවා. ඒගොල්ලන්වත් පහත් කරන තත්ත්වයකට තමයි සමහරක් මන්ත්‍රීවරු මෙතන කතා කරන්නේ. නමුත් මං ඒක ගැන කතා කරන්න යන්නේ නැහැ වැඩිදුර. මම කියන්න කැමති මේ මාධ්‍යට මේ රට තුල ඇත්තටම එතික්ස් කියලා දෙයක් තියෙනවා. ඕනම රටක මාධ්‍ය එතික්ස් තියෙනවා. ඒ වයින් මේ රටේ මේ ගොඩක්ම අපි දකින්නේ මඩ ගහන මේ දේවල් තමයි මාධ්‍ය තුල, විශේෂයෙන්ම සෝෂල් මීඩියා එක එහෙම. මේ දේවල් අපි නවත්තන්න ඕන, මේවට නීති ගේන්න ඕන. මට පුද්ගලිකව මම දැකලා තියෙනවා ගොඩාක් තැන්වලදී මේ මාධ්‍ය හසුරන විදිහ. නමුත් මේක වැරදි, මේකට එතික්ස් කියලා තියෙනවා, මාධ්‍ය එතික්ස් තියෙනවා. මේවා කළ යුතුයි. මගේ අවසන් විනාඩිය හරි මට කතා කරන්න ඉඩ දෙන්න. මට ආරංචියක් ආවා අපේ මේ විපක්ෂ නායකතුමා නැවතත් නුවර සිට කොළඹට උද්ඝෝෂණයක් පවත්වගෙන පෙළපාලියක් එන්න ලෑස්ති වෙනවා කියලා. නැවතත් මම කියන්න කැමතියි එතුමාට, ගරු විපක්ෂ නායකතුමා, ඔබතුමා වගකීම බාරගන්න. මේ රටේ නැවත නැවතත් ඔබතුමා මේ වගේ පෙළපාලියන්ට ලෑස්ති වෙලා මිනිසුන්ව රටේ ජනතාව අවුස්සගෙන ඔබතුමාගේ නොහැකියාව පෙන්වන්න ඒකට ප්‍රශ්නයක් නැහැ. නොහැකියාව හින්දා තමයි ඔබතුමා මේ වගේ දේවල් කරන්නේ. ඔබතුමාට හැකියාව තිබ්බනම් අර ලියුම් ලියපු වෙලාවේ ගරු ජනාධිපති හිටපු ගෝඨාභය රාජපක්ෂ මැතිතුමාට අර එක දිගට ලියුම් ලියලා කෝල් කරපු වෙලාවේ ඔබතුමාට මේක බාරගන්න තිබුණා. නමුත් රනිල් වික්‍රමසිංහ මැතිතුමා මේ අභියෝගය බාරගත්ත වෙලාවේ එතුමා විතරක් නෙමෙයි විපක්ෂ නායකතුමාගේ බිරිඳත් එතුමාට කතා කරා කියලා ගෝඨාභය රාජපක්ෂ මැතිතුමා අපි සමග කිව්වා. නැවත මෙයාට මේක ලබා දෙන්න මේ අගමැතිකම එයාට කරන්න පුළුවන් කියලා. ඉතින් එතුමාට මම කියන්න කැමතියි මේ රටට දැන් සංචාරකයෝ පැමිණෙන මේ මොහොතේ මේ නුවර ඉඳලා මේ කොළඹට එන්න නැවතත් පෙළපාලියක් ලෑස්ති කරලා තියෙනවා. කරුණා කරලා ඔබතුමා මේ කෝලම නවත්තන්න, මේ රටේ මිනිසුන්ව ජනතාව අවුස්ස ගන්න එපා නැවතත් මේ විදිහට. ඔබතුමා මේ පාර ගුටි ගන්න පාරේ ඉන්න මිනිසුන්ගෙන් මේ පළපාලියේදී එච්චරයි මට ඔබතුමාට කියන්න තියෙන්නේ. ඒක හින්දා මේක කඩාකප්පල් කරන්න හදන්න එපා මේ රට ගොඩ දාන එක. ඔබගේ නොහැකියාව තියාගන්න, ඒක ළඟ තියාගන්න
කෑගහන
කරන්න පාර්ලිමේන්තුව තුල. නමුත් මේ විනාශය කරන්න එපා මේ රටට. මට කියන්න තියෙන්නේ ඔබතුමාට එච්චරයි. බොහොම ස්තුතියි.
ස්තුතියි ගරු අමතුතුමිය.